All right, you guys, happy Tuesday. I'm going to ask you a question. It's actually a riddle that we're all familiar with. What came first, the chicken or the egg? That's what's on my mind. That's what's on my mind really all day. Because yesterday, we were explaining to you guys this sort of random coincidence, maybe not a coincidence, of the FBI seemingly choosing to work in offices that are kind of being run by like French royalty in essence, right? These old French American families. Now, why would our FBI do that? Surely they would have been aware that they were choosing to work in buildings that might potentially have some foreign interests. But then you know what? It clicked. The chicken came before the egg. Of course, don't be ridiculous. That's the answer to the riddle. LOL to the American history that's taught to us in the public schools. The French helped to establish the United States. They came over and they helped us win our big independence from the big bad Brits. And then what? They just left us alone. It was just an act of charity. Like, we're good. We want nothing in return. We just want you guys to be free. Does that make sense to you? Come on. Turns out, actually, and you may have known this, maybe I'm just American ignorant, but our FBI was founded by the French. In theory, the FBI really is in France's building over in Wilmington, if you think about it, for a long time. And I have been now been thinking about this for a long time. So welcome back to Candace. I actually want to begin this episode with a comment from yesterday's episode. Because, you know, we ran that poll wondering whether or not the public agreed with me about my lawsuit, me being filed by Brigitte Macron, me being sued by Brigitte and Emmanuel Macron, and whether or not it was just one big federal setup meant to bankrupt me. And here is an answer that we got in the comment section. Look at this. I believe that the purpose of Macron's lawsuit was that it was supposed to go nowhere because Candace was supposed to have been assassinated before the case got to court. Then they could forever claim that Candace was lying, which is evident by the fact that they were suing her for quote unquote defamation before someone had killed her. This was their plan, but I pray that it has now been foiled. I had never considered that, and that hit really deeply, and that is a dark thought. And I think now I'm wondering, I have a lot of questions. Everything feels different in this post-Charlie Kirk world. Where to begin? How about we should talk about the founding of America? Because, man, those Catholic priests that I was telling you about, they were unbelievably correct. I told you guys a long time ago how when I was considering whether or not I should be Orthodox or Catholic, but I knew that I was sort of done with Protestantism, I had been taking instruction from these priests in Europe and in the UK, and one of the fathers is a real bookworm, right? Kind of this cantankerous Englishman, no time for the American education system whatsoever. And he said to me quite famously, "You Americans know nothing of your own history. Your country was founded by Freemasons." And that just kind of permanently now echoes in my ear because boy, was he right. A war that had been sort of waging across Europe for centuries had then spilled into America. It was largely a spiritual war. It was really a theological war. That's what I'm starting to realize. That's why America never really had an appetite for Orthodox or Catholicism, because the Catholics and the Orthodox have kept history. They know what was going on in Europe, not the fake history that's packaged and sold to Americans. They know what the Freemasons were up to. Freemasons who caused all of those revolutions against really the Christian empire across Europe. The idea of really, I now think, is keep Americans fat and dumb and drugged and propagandized, right? And then when we need to, use their men to mass murder other Christians overseas. That's the big picture that I'm beginning to see. All of this to say, did you know that our FBI was founded by Charles Joseph Bonaparte? I had no idea. I hate to be American ignorant, but I had no idea. And yes, that man was the founder. And yes, that is like Napoleon Bonaparte. His grandfather, Charles's grandfather, was Napoleon Bonaparte's brother. This is like, was his great uncle. Napoleon Bonaparte was his great uncle, which makes it kind of hilarious, right? Because our tip yesterday from that person in Wilmington, Delaware, was asserting that the FBI had these offices, these kind of hidden offices, maybe kind of in buildings that appeared to be in part controlled by French American families who might have some conflicted interests. Particularly, we were discussing the DuPont family, right? Mentioning the DuPont family led to a flurry of tips coming out of Delaware. It was incredible. People in Wilmington saying, they own kind of everything, like everything, hospitals, schools, buildings, you name it, it is theirs. And then we received some more tips from people who were invested in sort of the urban legends of the DuPont family. They were telling us, hey, I went to school with DuPonts. Like, there's a lot of stories there. And these stories sound a lot like what you were covering in your Becoming Brigitte series. You remember, actually, right before we had been sort of interrupted in Becoming Brigitte series two, season two, we were speaking about Eric DuPont Moretti. And we were speaking about how he was kind of known, made a name for himself, making an argument for happy incest. Yeah. People were telling us, like, hey, this DuPont family, there's a lot going on there. And they've also maybe been involved in some murders. Again, this was DuPont folklore, if you will. But then more emails came in. And you know what? It's not entirely folklore. Okay. It's really just not. This is actually an article that appeared in Vanity Fair. So let's read it together. And I'm going to issue a trigger warning right at the top because it is disturbing. Today's episode in general, I should say, is not for the faint of heart. Here's the headline. DuPont heir gets no prison time for raping 3-year-old daughter. Okay. And the person who emailed this over said, this has actually kind of lived in me for over a decade because I was so disturbed by the story and you should read this. And it tells us that Robert Richards IV was in 2009 convicted of raping his 3-year-old daughter 7 years after she, who was just 5, told relatives that she didn't want her father to be touching her anymore. Then it says, in an alarming twist, the judge who sentenced the heir to the DuPont fortune let him off with no jail time, arguing that the 6'4" Richards will not fare well in prison. That was the argument that the lawyer made, and the courts in Delaware found that to be valid. So instead of sentencing him for prison for raping a toddler, it goes on and tells us that Judge Jan Jordan ruled that Richards would benefit from treatment instead. Critics have since noted that such treatment is usually offered only to drug addicts or those in possession of child pornography, not convicted rapists. And the details of the case became public this month when Richards' ex-wife sued him for damages related to the abuse of their daughter. Here is how the News Journal describes the convicted rapist in this case. Quote, Richards, who is unemployed and supported by a trust fund, owns a 5,800 square foot mansion in Greenville that he bought for $1.8 million in 2005. He also lists a home in the exclusive North Shores neighborhood near Rehoboth Beach, according to the state's sex abuse registry. Tells us that his great-grandfather is the DuPont family patriarch, Irene DuPont, and his father is Robert H. Richards, a retired partner in the Richards, Lawton, Layton, and Finger law firm. Now, I already know what you're going to say. Hey, Candace, is that the law firm that's filing the paperwork for you? And the answer to that is yes. And I did not know that no until literally yesterday because Richards didn't sound to me like DuPont. So I had not put two and two together as I was doing this episode talking about the DuPont family. I hadn't realized that the people that are filing paperwork for me, or rather the founder of that firm, the founding partner of that firm who's since retired, is DuPont. It's the DuPont family. So makes sense because as the people in Delaware are telling us, everything is DuPont. The Vanity Fair article continues. The heir to the DuPont chemical fortune, and to be clear, that is what they specialize in, chemicals that are used in war. We're going to get more into that later. Also admitted to sexually assaulting his infant son. He was initially charged with 2 counts of second-degree child rape, which would have carried a mandatory 20-year prison term if convicted. Richards, again, accused of raping 2 of his own children, was instead released on a $60,000 bail and eventually copped a plea deal that involved him admitting that he had abused his children but received that lesser charge a fourth degree rape. Okay. Now, the article goes on to tell us that this is hardly the first time that the DuPont family has found itself the focus of unsavory headlines. John DuPont shot Olympic wrestler David Schultz dead in the driveway of the family's mansion in 1996. 2 years later, the decomposing body of a Las Vegas prostitute was found stuffed in the air conditioner of a seedy motel. She was killed by three hired hands. As Dominic Dunn reported in Vanity Fair, the money traced back to the DuPont family. It appeared that Lisa Dean, who is a DuPont, didn't approve of her drug-addicted son dating a drug-addicted Vegas sex worker, so she and her husband, Christopher Mosley, had her killed. Both John DuPont and Mosley died in prison. Okay, great, cool. France in the story. We've got an alleged murder for hire. I guess not an alleged murder. It's not alleged. It's just murder for hire. We've got incest. We've got Jeffrey Epstein's ties to France. I'm just kind of noticing a theme here, if you will. A theme here that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Are you feeling uncomfortable? Because you should be feeling uncomfortable, especially if you're me, okay? And you find out, really, by the grace of God, that there was this plot to murder me, okay? I'm just not liking all of this coincidence. It's starting to feel like a conspiracy, if I'm being honest with you. And we should get back to our map now because it's getting a little squishy in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm feeling claustrophobic in Wilmington, Delaware, and I've never even been there, okay? So here's our block. We've got a couple of blocks here, and we've told you yesterday we've got this FBI suite in this building that's actually owned by the Wilmington Trust at 500 Delaware Avenue. We've got Brigitte Lawyers at 919 North Market Street. Also in that building happens to be Stacey Sheridan's registered agent. That's Stacey Sheridan of Turning Point USA. We're going to talk about her in a second. We've got the Wilmington Trust actual location, which is at 1100 North Market. We told you about this red crane at 1100 North King Street, and that's Bracebridge Complex, which is supposed to house Insight headquarters, and they've got a French CEO. It's just a lot happening here. And again, now, having a registered agent in Delaware isn't, you have an LLC, you're supposed to have a registered agent, and people tend to choose between Wyoming and Delaware, sometimes Las Vegas, to form their own corporations. But wow, what are the chances that Stacey Sheridan has a registered agent that's in that building too? Because I have LLCs, and I've got LLCs in Delaware, and I'm not even in Wilmington. There's a lot to choose from. It's a whole state. But Stacey Sheridan's registered agent is there too. People had noted, by the way, that she had a few LLCs, which she was getting paid through. It could all be above board. I don't really know. But the one I'm speaking about is Cloverstone Ventures. Stacey, by the way, is the senior advancement director at Turning Point USA. She was brought in specifically by Tyler Boyer to raise money and to take Turning Point to the next level. And regarding Tyler Boyer, now we could say maybe a couple of weeks ago that he's a criminal. But actually, Donald Trump pardoned him. He pardoned Tyler Boyer a couple of weeks ago, so we can't. That's actually not real. He's been pardoned. But he is always up to no good, I can tell you that. And he brings in this Stacey Sheridan. I got to tell you, I did not like her at all. Just the vibe was off. I did not like her, and I expressed that to Charlie to his face when she was hired. That's when I kind of notoriously said to him, you can't go down this path with money, okay? Because people that want to raise money and you're bringing people over with the incentive of just wanting a lot of money, you can run into trouble that way. Which is why I didn't feel great about the fact that she was so involved after Charlie's assassination. Stacey Sheridan is the one that was filming. Everyone was like, who's filming his casket as it's being escorted off of Air Force Two, crying, holding that Stacey. Like I said, I just felt spiritually that Charlie hiring her was a mistake. She didn't pass my vibe check. Suddenly, she's everywhere. She's eulogizing Charlie Kirk on stage. She is capturing intimate photos of his casket. She's then at the White House shedding tears over this fake holiday that's been created, when I just want to solve actually who did this. And the whole thing was making my skin crawl, if I'm being honest. Her involvement specifically made my skin crawl, and I want to say that. openly and honestly, okay? But she's there. And she's there in this squishy block. In this one block, we are all just chilling in Wilmington, right? And we would have never gotten to this block, by the way, had it not been for the Egyptian planes. Us simply tracking these Egyptian planes and somebody giving us a tip like, hey, kind of weird that's flying through Wilmington. And we go, aha, lights on. And here we are, right? We learn about this French and Israeli ACE Partners being the second largest shareholder of Satis. They decide to lease out this hangar. We learn that that requires federal approval because it sits on federal airways. And maybe that means it requires French approval. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know anything at this point, except everything stinks to high heaven. And so I start asking myself, what do we all have in common? Why are we all just chilling in Delaware? That's what I'm trying to ascertain. What are we all doing over here near King Street? Who is the king? Right? Do we have some shared interest that I haven't seen through yet? And now would be the appropriate time for us to get back into that timeline, because there is an important question that we forgot to ask. So let's jump into our timeline, beginning with the inflection point, which was that Tucker Carlson speech. Now, I want to say this: on that July 11th, when Tucker Carlson gave that speech, I did, and I hope I'm not betraying anything too private here, but I asked Tucker about that speech. I was like, what inspired you? I went back and watched it, and he's going hard, and he's talking about, where's all this money coming from? And you know, is this even a meritocracy? Like, why are people that are not impressive billionaires? What's happening in this country? I asked Tucker, what made you say that? And he said, I had no plan to say it. It just came out of my mouth. It was just inspired. It just came out of my mouth when I hit the stage. There was no plan. Charlie said goes Max. And that is what Tucker riffs. And I do think that was a part of, there was something spiritual that moved him to say that. I will say that. Anyway, so that's July 11th. Tucker Carlson speaks at Turning Point USA's conference, and the donors freak out. He calls out Jeffrey Epstein. He says that people who serve in foreign armies should be stripped of their citizenship. He muses about Bill Ackman's wealth and where it comes from. We are told, even though we have not been able to confirm this with a shred of evidence, that it was 7 days later that the request came from to Turning Point USA from UVU, UVU's chapter, for Charlie to have this event. That's very late in the day already, but again, we see no proof of this. We do know that right after that, our Egyptian yellow plane flies to Lincoln, Nebraska, and 2 days later, it is announced in Nebraska that they're going to be doing a trade and investment trip with Egypt. There was some private off-record meeting that took place to make this come to fruition. And there were international professionals that were there per the media. But who were these professionals that met with Secretary of State Bob Evnen? Why is this meeting somehow off record? And when people, and they have done that, have requested information, they say, oh, there's nothing that has been, that's public that we can share with you. Thank you to, by the way, the citizens of Nebraska who did that. I received your emails, even if I was not able to respond. Anyways, then it departs Nebraska, our yellow planes, and it heads to Wilmington, and then it goes back to Cairo. We then know that in this same time frame-ish is when Charlie vacations up to Maine for a couple of weeks to be with his family, goes off radar. We've got Mikey McCoy and his wife, Eliza, that join them for the first time they're doing this joint family vacation, and Mikey's capturing these last videos that are going to warm our hearts about Charlie. And he's like, amazing. That's just how he is. And on July 25th, Charlie speaks in Westchester, New York. At the end of July, this is a new little update for you. YRefi comes in as the number one sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Fall Tour. So this is end of July, early August. And I'm wondering why they did that then, because that's pretty late in the day. Remember, this was something they freaked out about when I said, hey, this is not how Turning Point events are come together. They're not instant, actually, in the history of me speaking on college campuses and having headlined these tours. They are planning them at least a semester ahead. And then it was like mass panic. I got like Lila Rose and Ali Stuckey, who have never headlined their tour, suddenly saying, that's not true. That's not true. What are you talking about? And I'm like, I'm talking about, I worked there. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. And that was a weird thing to debunk. And I'm wondering, why was this put together so late in the day? And I am musing here, but I'm wondering if why Refi, after Charlie lost millions of dollars, said, hey, you can make that up by going on tour. You know, like we are willing to do this. And maybe Charlie actually wasn't planning on going on tour at all. And this tour actually came together very quickly. I'm musing on that. I'm not introducing that as a fact. I'm introducing that as a question. Anyways, back to our timeline, why Refi is going big and they are going to be the main sponsor of this fall tour. And that's how that came together. Then we know that in very early August, Turning Point was scouting that location and that event. And they specifically requested for Charlie to be in that amphitheater. Now, apparently Charlie had done, according to some insiders, had loved an event that he had done in an amphitheater environment in Nashville. But I don't know if he said, I only want to do that going forward. But I do know that Turning Point USA insisted upon that. The person that was orchestrating that event, Macy Crofts, was saying, like, this is what Charlie wants. And that could be true. August 2nd is when we have our French Legionnaires arriving in America for a three-week training session in California, which is going to end on the 25th. And then a couple of days later, we have that Hamptons retreat, which Charlie Kirk himself described as an intervention, as an Israel intervention. And influencers who were there said that he was being pressed on his shifting viewpoints on Israel. And we know that the influencers were paid for by Bill Ackman. But I don't think that that's particularly a big deal. Obviously, he has interests and was potentially coming on as a donor for Turning Point USA. We have what I do think is a big deal, which is Bibi Netanyahu calling Charlie and offering to take Turning Point to the next level. And that, my friends, is the billion-dollar question, maybe the trillion-dollar question. In exchange for what? Have we considered that? This man is fighting like a 20-front war, and he calls Charlie Kirk and asks, you know, do you want to come to Israel? We can take Turning Point to the next level in exchange for what and through who? Because I'm going to guess that Bibi Netanyahu is not just going to write a check signed by Bibi Netanyahu and just do that as an act of charity. In exchange for what? What's he going to take Turning Point to a next level? This is something that nobody has denied took place. No one has denied that this took place. And Charlie declined that offer. So what that signals to me is that Charlie then had information about maybe how they move money, right, without registering for FARA. I don't know. I think that's a big question that needs to be asked. Let's keep going onto this timeline. Charlie says no, and almost immediately, 10 days later, we got our next point is that our planes come back out and they're flying to Lincoln again. They're going to Omaha. They're going to Wilmington. They stay for one night. Charlie speaks in South Carolina. We have our yellow planes then returning on the 24th, again, always through Wilmington, to Egypt. We then have our French Legionnaires have completed their training, and on August 24th, 27th, Operation Valhalla takes place between civilians and military men in Minnesota at Camp Ripley. Then we have the first public sign that went out on August 27th. August 27th, that is so late in the day to begin promoting an event. TPUSA, UVU, and a local BYU chapter share a graphic announcing that Charlie is coming to UVU, but there are no location details mentioned on that graphic. So still not full details, but at least the first announcement goes out. On the 29th, we have Operation Bright Star, which commences, that joint operation that we told you about, which is biennial between Egypt and the United States military and other countries that are coming together. And it is being reported that it is going to run through to September 10th. On September 2nd, Charlie sends out the email asking for a Doge audit of his company. And he announces that Justin Strife is going to be the new COO, taking over for Tyler Boyer, who was the COO. And then we have the first known public going out in local media that Charlie's coming to town and that it is going to take place in the courtyard. That's on September 2nd, okay? On September 4th, our planes come in and we know what happens next. Charlie is in Korea for a couple of days. He comes back on September 10th and he gets assassinated. And that also happens to be the same day that that Operation Bright Star, that Cairo joint operation, formally ends. Okay. So that timeline makes me uncomfortable, okay? It makes me very uncomfortable, and I'm wondering if Charlie put together the Doge account, and I want to be clear of this part of speculation, because something that he maybe learned when BB asked to take it to the next level made him think, maybe I should look through Turning Point's finances, like where is this money coming in from and where is it going? And I don't know that for a fact, but I think it's a fair question, a fair investigative question, is what inspired Charlie to suddenly be concerned about not just where the money was going, but where the money was coming from? Was an offer made to him that he declined? Yes. What was that offer for in exchange? And I want to say this, Charlie said no. So Charlie died with his soul intact. Dying with his soul intact. He said no. He said no to a lot of money. But it was actually a tip that I received early on that pulled everything together for me in a really dark way. It was water cooler talk at Turning Point USA immediately after Charlie's assassination. A few people had signified and were speculating and thinking about things that were weird. And, you know, I told you we had so many people from Turning Point USA that were just venting in our tip box and telling us that they didn't like the way management was acting and things were weird. And there were just a flurry of things that were coming in. And a few of them had signified that one of the things that were one of the things that was being whispered about that people thought was quite odd that they learned that happened on the day of Charlie's assassination was a rumor pertaining to Justin Strife. An oddly placed phone call that he made almost immediately, as they say, this is alleged, it wasn't on the phone call, after Charlie was shot. And I will say allegedly because there's six people at Turning Point USA who have said this, that were talking about this. This rumor got passed around. They said that Justin had placed an immediate call to a donor prospect. And I said, that's weird, okay? I'd like to know more about that. Can everybody try to figure out what donor that was? Now, it's possible it could have just been a very close donor friend. Charlie had them. He did. There were some donors that he loved like family members. And so that was a potential long shot thing, but just interesting. I'd like to know who he was so close to that required an immediate call. Then it turns out that these ladies told me that this donor actually had a pretty big piece of bait on the hook for Turning Point USA. A piece of their billion-dollar company. They were anticipating some IPO and that this was going to be life-changing money, okay? We're not talking like, oh, a check that's going to be reeled in for $5 million or $10 million or $50 million or like the $90 million that Turning Point USA raised in the first couple of weeks following Charlie's assassination. We are talking like billionaire money, potentially billions of dollars. And this was a very big secret, a huge secret. Just a handful of people were allowed to even know about this, that this was happening. In fact, there's probably people that are watching this right now at Turning Point USA who work in donations. I think it's a pretty large department that have no idea, have never even heard of this because that's how incredibly top level secret this was. Okay. But people began to find out about this because of just an unfortunate conversation that had been left unattended to. Okay. Now, why was the secret supposed to be so guarded? Why is this person getting a phone call? I wanted to know. I wanted to know more. and I start messaging our mommy sleuths and our daddy sleuths and all of my sources at Turning Point USA. And I'm saying, anything that you can tell me about this in case this might be important. And I got an answer on the name of a donor, and I had completely forgotten because, again, this happened so early following the assassination. I am talking before I even went to Wyoming. My brain was still traumatized. I had so much information that I was trying to process while I was grieving that I literally forgot the big part that I learned about this donor. I forgot. And these young women told me that this donor was French American. And that this donor's name was Pierre. And it wasn't until yesterday, after we went off air, that I presented to you all of this stuff about the DuPont family, that it clicked. And these ladies messaged me and said, oh, you figured it out. It's Pierre DuPont. ! I had mentioned Pierre DuPont on yesterday's show, and this took my breath away. I will be honest. I cried really hard yesterday thinking, my goodness, how could I have forgotten that this donor was French American, that was the big thing. And I was racking my brain trying to figure out that time because I hadn't even considered France's involvement in anything. Like, who do I know that's French and has tons of money and is involved in technologies and could possibly be working on a big check that could be kept secret because it's about to IPO and billions are on the line. And then it all kind of came together. And I would like an answer about this Pierre, the billionaire French-American donor. And I would like a clean answer as to whether or not it is Mr. Pierre DuPont. Yeah. Because this would be a devastatingly dark story. And my sources are very sure that this is what was on the line, that this was life-changing money. And they are very sure that this individual got a phone call after the assassination. And I think that we deserve to know. I don't think this should be a secret, right? Charity shouldn't be a secret. Why? And by the way, it leads to more questions. Like, how could you say that you knew that your IPO was going to lead to billions of dollars? How could you promise that? How could you promise that? And did Charlie know? Did Charlie know? And I'm going to be honest with you. I know a lot of billionaires. They don't part with their money like that. They don't part with their money and offer people parts, pieces of their company, people that aren't even their family members. So why was that offer on the table? I have so many questions and I'm going to ask them publicly. And I think that we demand answers. We should all be demanding answers because this is now starting to feel very, very dark. It's too French, right? It's just too French. We just can't all be hanging out in Delaware. And there's one more thing that came in regarding Andrew Colvett. Very close family friend of Andrew Colvett had messaged me early on. And I, again, was not tracking any of this at the time, but they had said that they felt that Andrew Colvett was acting weird. And I'm sure that's not a big deal. I think we were all acting weird. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. But moreover, they had mentioned that specifically Andrew had told them that when Charlie said no to Bibi, he lost out on millions. Now, I'm going to say allegedly because this is a tip, but I have that tip in writing. I'm not lying to you. And I thought to myself, that is so weird. How could the spokesperson at Turning Point USA be on the, how could they be gaining millions from that? What is the structure here of these contracts that even people that are in PR, people that are like running PR departments are getting tips on the basis of donations? I don't know how this is working, but we need to figure out how this is working. I think it's really important that we learn the truth about what happened. Who's Pierre? Is it Pierre DuPont? And has Turning Point been paid? Obviously, it wouldn't be on this year's taxes. You're not going to find those on this year's taxes, but they would be on next year's. But we can ask now. And I'm asking now. And there's more I want to share, but we're going to take a brief break for sponsors. I'll ask the question, what are you guys doing today to protect your tomorrow? Because it seems like waiting until later is not really an option because we're already living in the later. You should consider adding gold into your financial strategy because if economies destabilize and the markets get scared, currencies can lose their value, but gold does not always follow suit. Having some gold means that you're not 100% dependent on one financial system. You'll instead have something tangible. And for me, it's about planning, it's about protecting. And of course, I'm not saying that you should dump everything that you have into gold because that would be as misguided as sticking with just stocks, but balancing your investments is definitively crucial. If you're worried about retirement or worried about the current economy, then let this be your little nudge. Visit CandiceLikesGold.com to get your free 2025 gold and silver kit and learn about how you can get up to 10% in free silver. Don't wait for the next crisis. Protect your future today. Call 855-815-GOLD or simply visit CandiceLikesGold.com. Again, CandiceLikesGold.com. Also, I've been telling you guys about Beekeepers Natural because this holiday season may be full of joy, travel, and togetherness, but it also happens to overlap with peak cold and flu season. Between crowded stores, packed schedules, late nights, and extra stress, our immune systems are working overtime just when we need them the most. That's why I am so thankful for Beekeepers Naturals and their amazing propolis throat spray. If you haven't heard of propolis, it's this natural immune supporting substance that bees make to protect their hives. It's like nature's own shield. That's the best way to think of it. Packed with antioxidants and over 300 beneficial compounds. It's been used for centuries to help support immunity. It soothes your scratchy throats. It also keeps you feeling your best. I use the propolis throat spray, especially during the holidays, because it's clean, it's natural, and it's free from all of that junk that you can't really pronounce. There's no dyes, there's no chemicals, there's no fake sugars. Beekeepers Naturals recently launched a kid-friendly version as well of their nasal spray, and the mist is soft and gentle, so kids actually don't mind using it. Today, Beekeepers Naturals is giving viewers exclusive access to their extended holiday sale. You can get 30% off site-wide, so head to beekeepersnaturals.com and enter code Candace at checkout, or you can just go to beekeepersnaturals.com/Candace. This is their biggest sale of the year. Their best sellers always sell out. That's beekeepersnaturals.com and enter code Candace, or you can just go to beekeepersnaturals.com/Candace. There is such a thing as a good Fed, believe it or not. There are good guys. There are good guys everywhere. You know, lightness is always fighting darkness. And I received an interesting tip from a Fed that I'm going to share with you now that might be relevant. But Turning Point USA put in a personal request to try to get the Egyptian plane story killed, you know, and I find that to be very interesting. What is it about these Egyptian planes that Turning Point USA didn't want them to be discussed? I don't know. But I am going to find out. I think we kind of have found out in a weird, really effed up way, actually. It makes my stomach turn. I'm going to miss Charlie. I really am going to miss Charlie. And I think when Charlie was assassinated, there was something about it. I knew that this story was going to be dark instantly. I knew that Charlie was betrayed. They laughed at me. Oh, you had a dream. Charlie told you he was. Yeah, Charlie told me that he was betrayed. And I think part of the mourning was, and the grief that I was experiencing was in large part due to my understanding that this was going to be missional for me. I knew deep down that this was going to be missional. And I kind of knew deep down that the whole world was going to be against me, or I guess the whole dark apparatus was going to be against me, not the world. There are so many good people in the world that are the reason that I'm doing this and who understood instantly and felt instantly what I felt when this all happened. And I think it's sad because I was just reflecting on, I guess, really the last part of my youth, being ignorant and thinking that we lived in a country that was free and was fair and was a meritocracy, the excitement of me and Charlie in politics. Like, we were young bucks thinking that we were going to change the world because the MAGA movement offered us this opportunity to do it, right? We're going to get Trump elected and we're going to get people to stop talking about racism and sexism and to understand like family is a priority. And I realize now, and I know Charlie realizes now, that we did not see the evil that was around us. And I'm going to miss that youth. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to miss that young experience. I'm going to miss Charlie going on dates and the girls that he liked and me always being the wing woman and him asking. This text message is my one of my favorite text messages between me and Charlie when he was getting ready to go on a date. And, you know, he didn't date many people. And he was just kind of in love with this girl. And he was asking me, should I wear this? And this is the text message. It's so sweet. He said, do I have to change this shirt? And I wrote back, yes. And throw it away if you can, Charlie. And he writes, okay. And he's wearing a Turning Point early shirt that somebody, I think, gave to him. He stitched on. Is it stitched on? Is it ironed on? I don't know. But I was like, Charlie, burn it. Obviously, burn that shirt. And it makes me, it's the stuff that makes me cry and makes me sad because he just was so young. You know, Charlie was so young and he was such a good person. And I'm also going to miss the young conversations that you have when you're vibing with someone and you're speaking about things that you don't understand. As you were coming up in politics, I always felt like an alien. We would have these discussions with donors and we'd have discussions with people or people would do stuff. And I would just tell them all the time, Charlie, I'm an alien. I am new on this planet. I don't understand this. I don't understand double speak and, you know, contracts and people threatening to sue. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm an alien. And Charlie always said he felt like he was a time traveler. And this is a conversation I would say, I'm an alien. I just messaged him from across the globe. And he said, I think I'm a time traveler. This is my home. He felt like Earth was his planet, but I think you found me and time traveled with me. Like the kind of friendship where you can talk about being a time traveler and feeling like an alien as I've always felt like it, because I don't get it. I don't get the rules of this planet. I don't get the betrayal, the backstabbing, the people that dance for money. It's never made sense to me. From the time I was a kid, I just felt out of place. And I am out of place in politics. I will tell you that because this is what it's all about, right? Selling your soul to the devil. And I don't want to do that. Anyways, that's just going a long way of me saying that I'm going to miss the ignorance of our political youth thinking that it could be fair, thinking that we could just work hard, thinking that we could run a company, that we could launch this revolution where people were going to be happy in the future because America was the land of the free. I had to mourn that. Now I realized, and as I have expressed, that this is missional. Charlie knew he was going to die young, but there was more that were in those now seemingly prophetic text messages that I was unwilling to share at that time. But I am going to share that now. When he was speaking about his death and the visions that he was having in April of 2018, he also said some other things. He didn't just say that he was going to die. He didn't just say that Turning Point was going to be the death of him, but he also wrote this. This is in April, on April 13th. He wrote this. He wrote, ish like tonight is what I have foreseen. This won't result in anything. I'll give you the context in a moment. But in our lifetime, we will experience real war beyond anything that we can fathom, absolute and total destruction. Now, for historical reference, what was going on that week involved, of course, France, right? America, France, Israel, the Middle East, Syria, Russia, and this is the Syria before Israel and the United States overthrew Assad. What was going on was the United States and France were carrying out a series of military strikes involving an aircraft and these ship-based missiles against multiple government sites in Syria. And the official reason that we were told was because the Syrian government had apparently chemically gassed their own citizens, something which Assad had strenuously denied. In effect, if Assad was telling the truth, and I believe he was, because I think there is a war on Christians that's happening, then the West and the United States were implicated in part by a false flag attack to justify a larger military justification. That's kind of something the West does a lot, right? False flag attack, get the media going, we have to respond, and then we just sort of take land. Yeah, that's what we do. Now, France had said in a statement on that morning on April 14th that France's red line had been crossed. So this was a story which Charlie said, this is not the thing that's coming, but this is a preview of the thing that's coming. Missiles, false flag attacks, chemicals, and the Middle East, America, France, and Israel. It is something. It is something, right? This was the vibe of something that Charlie felt was going to happen in the future. Something Charlie and I used to always say, I told you that, the rest is future. I think we are in the rest right now. We are approaching that future right now. And I didn't feel it then in 2018, but I feel it now. I've been telling you guys, I have been having a lot of dreams. And the dread that Charlie felt in 2018, I have been feeling. I felt it leading up to Charlie's assassination. I pulled my children out of school. I was having this dreams and visions about bees and organization that was happening in America. I have a sense of dread that a lot of these events that are happening, these inexplicable events like the Malibu fires, these sort of coastal events, the Texas floods, that this is not happening by accident, okay? I have a feeling of a sense of dread that the Fed is taking from Americans right now and that we are heading toward war, okay? I'm going to share that. I feel that we are headed toward war, that they want war by any means necessary, and that you need to be, wherever you are in the world, fully dialed into that, okay? We can't be stupid this time. We cannot believe what the media is telling us. We cannot believe what the governments are telling us. We cannot believe whatever it is, whatever attack that's going to happen, and we're going to be told that it was this guy. We have to start to recognize the pattern of things, okay? The predictive model of this is my red line, then the red line gets crossed and people are denying it. And what happens? Christians are mass slaughtered every single time. Propagandize people, Christians in the East, to hate Christians in the West. And there's just less of us by the end of it. And these things tend to happen. World wars, when they want a reset because people start waking up. And so I just wanted to express that to you, that I feel that we are reaching that brink right now. And you need to prepare for that. And feels like an almost inevitability because wars are planned in boardrooms, okay? In boardrooms. They're going to send you and your children and your sons, but they are not going to fight. And I don't love a scenario right now that's happening where we have envoys being sent to Russia and Israel and everybody's meeting all of it. It feels like something's coming. And I know that you probably sense that dread too. Turning our attention to Turning Point. Did you know, I learned this from one of our sleuths, that Turning Point might potentially now be becoming a real estate empire. Apparently, Tyler Boyer has a younger brother who for 10 years has worked in dental sales until Charlie died, because a unique opportunity presented itself at Turning Point USA, where Tyler had begun telling people that TPUSA plans to roll out a program to build houses for first-time home buyers. They're going to use Turning Point USA's position and audience to market this idea of new homes. And the marketing pitch is that Charlie preached to young Christians about how school and universities was a waste of time and that it was a waste of money and that they should get married early and they should start their lives and they should have kids. But he never really taught them how or what they should do next. So they are planning to leverage Turning Point USA's position with young Christians as a captive audience to sell, to build and sell houses. Okay. That's what the person told me. And I checked that out. They presented some proof of that conversation happening. And I think that's interesting. I think we should share that. And I know that I'm sure that that's probably what Charlie wrote. He apparently had a 15-20-year plan, according to Frank Turek, or was it Rob McCoy? Rob McCoy said that, I think. I think they all said it, honestly, but Rob McCoy did say that. He kept this in his notebooks, and so a real estate empire could be on the brink for Turning Point USA. Amazing. That really is something. Anyways, you guys, we are going to take another break for our sponsors, and then I will get into some of your comments. All right, you guys, whether you are struggling with credit cards, personal loans, or medical bills, PDS Debt has custom options to help you get out of debt. They go beyond the numbers to understand your unique financial situation, and they can craft a personalized plan that is designed just for you. There is no minimum credit score that's required. They are here to help you save more, pay off your debt faster, and start putting money back where it belongs, which is obviously in your pocket. PDS Debt is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. It boasts thousands of five-star reviews on Google, and it holds a five-star rating on Trustpilot because PDS has helped hundreds of thousands of people get out of debt. Every month you wait, it will just cost you more in interest and fees. The best time to start was probably yesterday. The second best is right now. Don't wait another month. Take back control in 30 seconds. Get your free personalized assessment and the best option for you by visiting pdsdebt.com/Candace. Again, that's pdsdebt.com/Candace. Also want to tell you guys about Home Title Lock, because if you are a homeowner, you should listen to this. The FBI has been warning homeowners about this type of real estate fraud that's on the rise, which is title theft. Now, this type of theft doesn't happen by breaking down your doors and stealing your stuff. It happens with just a one-page document that has a forged signature that can get filed at the county. And if your title, which is the legal record of ownership, gets transferred out of your name, criminals can then use your ownership to drain your equity or even sell your property. And you won't even know about it until you start getting collection notices and foreclosure notices in the mail. That's why I partnered with Home Title Lock, so that you can protect your equity and find out today if you're already a victim. Use my promo code Candace at HomeTitleLock.com and you'll get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That is 24/7 monitoring of your title records, urgent alerts to any changes. And if fraud occurs, the U.S.-based restoration team will spend up to $1 million to fix it for you. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Candace, or use the link in the description below. So what's going to happen now? Threats, lawsuits, lawyers, bankruptcy. This is how it works, right? When you wake up to the scam of everything, when you start telling the truth, when you say, I'm not going to become a part of the scam, when you say, no, I'd rather die with my soul intact. Yeah, it's like there's only one way out of this matrix, two ways out. We're going to destroy you or we're going to kill you. That's it. So look forward to some lawsuit being drummed up, because I have the audacity to tell the truth about what happened to my friend. And you need real friends in this world. You actually need real friends, friends that are going to stand up when everyone is lying about everything about what happened to you on that day. And we've discovered more, by the way, but you know, it's only Tuesday. So we'll give you more tomorrow. Anyways, you guys, to get to some housekeeping, some great news, my book, Make Him a Sandwich, is not just available on the Make Him a Sandwich website, which is makehimasandwich.com, but now it is available on Amazon. So you can get that. You can go to amazon.com and you can now get that delivered directly to you. I think, by the way, George put a note that it says that it's not in stock. That's not true. It just means Amazon hasn't received our shipment yet. So it is in stock and you can buy that today. I'm really excited about that. It's a really good book and it gets into the history of feminism, and it's quite a personal book also, and kind of my own journey with feminism and kind of learning where all bad ideas come from, which is kind of, or I guess I should say, as it pertains to America, the assassination of the Tsar, another assassination event. I think these Bolsheviks are here in America. Something I want to say to you guys, that is what my dread is. They have woven themselves quietly to give you kind of a Game of Thrones reference for those of you who watched it. While we were all warring with each other left and right, the White Walkers were building an army, and they're here. So that's the sense of dread that I have about what's happened in this country. And they are Bolsheviks, and they believe murder is their right. They hate Christians. They believe in infiltration. And we should fast. We should pray. We should hope that Charlie's vision was correct. He knew he was going to die, but also that he felt, as he intimated to me, that he had to take that option so that people would wake up. And I do think that it catalyzed an awakening here. And these are risks that I also feel missionally. I have to take these risks to say and to tell people at risk of my own life, because there won't be a tomorrow for our children. I sense that dread, and I hate to communicate that to you. I always try to be optimistic, but this is bad. I feel it. And I think you all feel it too. So yeah, there's a lot that is a lot to digest, and we're not done. Of course, I am hopeful that Erica Kirk will issue a statement. I think in this new capacity, CEO and chairman, that we deserve an answer about that check, that phone call. We deserve a clear answer on that, and no dancing around it. Because like I said, my sources were pretty solid on that. And I am just kind of trying to digest the devastation of it all, really, to be honest with you, what the implications are. Anyways, we have new merch that's on our website as well. You can also now gift someone with a membership to Club Candace to join our book club. By the way, we're about to, when we get off, head to the book club as we continue this conversation about Sigmund Freud and the Jewish mystical tradition, and which correlates directly with what's going on today, kind of a war that happened and nobody really knows what was going on in Europe. That's, this book is really important. So yeah, you can now gift a membership if you'd like to. We are kind of running out of time here, but I'm going to read the top comment from yesterday's episode. It says, it's crazy to me that Candace is doing her own research on her own assassination plot. Meanwhile, uncovering things in our government that are hidden in plain sight. We need to wake up, America, not just America, world. The world needs to wake up. And I think the mistake, which there are many mistakes devil makes, but in overplaying his hand, was publicly executing Charlie, because it stirred something inside of all of us who still have goodness, inside of all of us who will say no to money, inside those of us who would rather be sued than to acquiesce to evil. I think it made us realize that we have to be soldiers for God. If they are going to be soldiers for darkness, then we have to be soldiers for light. Let me see if I can read a couple of these comments before we go off here. Wow, that's a huge donation that was made by Laughing Cats Music World. Thank you. I'm going to need it because I think the federal government is trying to bankrupt me a thousand different ways. Legal fare is one of the strategies, legal fare. They just keep you constantly being sued at all times. And I feel like that's happened since I escaped the Matrix. This person writes, supporting my favorite girl, my mouth was wide when you dropped the name DuPont. I cried tonight. I love you and I love Charlie from the get-go. A big part of my everyday was ripped from me when they killed Charlie. You are true blue. When the turn is out and impossible to deny, you can say, as the French say, c'est la vie. May they all go down. Yeah. You know, may everyone involved in this thing go down. I think that's fair. Maybe Turning Point will have some very clear answers. They haven't given us any thus far. Just more attacks on Candace, more people purporting to be Christians attacking Candace, using biblical scripture. I have no time for this anymore. I really don't. We are here now and the world can see what's happening. You can call me crazy. You can call me evil. You can call me demonic. You can call me whatever you need to call me that keeps you warm at night. Because let me tell you, it isn't going to be nearly as warm as you are going to be when you burn in hell for an eternity. Okay? It's going to be like nothing you could possibly imagine. This life is short. Charlie's was shorter, it shortened, but this life is short relative to eternity. And that is real. And I commit myself to truth. And I just decided that I'm going to stay on the side of truth. And I'm going to keep enduring these attacks and stand with the people. Seven Sheets writes, it feels like you're the only close friend really mourning him. I've been there. I'm so sorry for your loss. Please stay strong. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yako writes, many blessings, Candace, from Anton Daniels and the Bag Chasers. Keep fighting the good fight. Snowy writes, integrity, courage, intelligence, articulate, as beautiful inside and as outside. Candace Owens from the eyes of a 79-year-old. Thank you. I love making your generation proud because I do think that that was the last generation that had real values. You know, America lost its way when we decided that we would do anything for money, which is what BB said on camera. You know, America is something you can move very easily with money. Not this American. So there's that. And Amir writes, I voted for my taxpayer funds to go from the CIA towards the Candace Intelligence Agency for all of her investigative work, because at this point, she is one of the rare public figures that are actually fighting for truth. Sadly, I mean, I just really thought there would be more allies. And there are some, like I said, there are some good feds. There is an underground movement that is happening, but there's not nearly enough for the amount that we pay in our taxes. I'll tell you that for free. Joy writes, this is deep. I've been watching Ken Burns, The Revolution. The French connection is long with America. It is. And silly us for thinking they just kind of did us a favor and said, sayonara, right? No way. Of course, that's not how it happened to us. Silly Americans. Anyways, you guys, we're going to jump into book club. Support the show. You can do that in a variety of ways. Like I said, buying gear. We've got new kit available on the website, which we're excited about. And you can, of course, buy the book, which is available on Amazon. And we're going to keep pushing. Today was definitely an episode where I feel like we went max for Charlie. So we'll see you tomorrow.